Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. Our listener support / appreciation campaign continues. You can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Patreon.greatdetectives.net. You can help choose our summer series for the amazing world of radio. And you also will receive a monthly newsletter from me. Check it out, patreon.greatdetectives.net. But now it is time for the conclusion of this 2-week Yours Truly Johnny Dollar saga. So here from October 25th and 26th of 1956, it's the Phantom Chase Matter episodes 8 and 9.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar. Boy genius.
Oh, look, Johnny, don't blame yourself.
We come here to Lagos Island to pick up Tom Chase. So what happens? He circles around behind us, grabs a boat, and takes off.
But how could you help it?
I should have figured what he was up to. He was all alone here on the island, no way to get off. So we obligingly show up in a boat. He pins us down in the underbrush with a few wild shots while he works his way around to the boat. Well, one thing I got to admit, Lola, your husband's no dummy.
Please, Johnny, I'd just as soon not be reminded of Tom's cleverness. Embezzlement, murder, escape. If that's cleverness, I don't want any part of it. Oh, if he'd only turn himself in.
Oh, fat chance of that.
Maybe if he goes back to Barbados, we can find him there and persuade him.
You're overlooking one small detail, Lola.
Huh?
You and I are now in the same spot Tom Chase was. We're alone on this island, and there's no way off.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Lagos Island, 3 hours by boat from Barbados in the British West Indies. To the Home Office, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Phantom Chase Matter. Expense account continued. I was getting nowhere. I'd been on the trail of Tom Chase ever since he'd embezzled $120,000 from his New York investment firm and jumped bail. First to New Orleans. There, a man named Freddie Quintana had offered to deliver Chase for a price. But Quintana had wound up dead in an alley. Obviously, Tom Chase didn't want to be delivered. I'd finally tracked him to Barbados and found a fisherman who told me he'd brought Chase here to Lagos Island. Chase's wife, Lola, had flown to Barbados and insisted on coming with me to the island, hoping she could convince her husband to turn himself in. But instead, Chase had maneuvered us away from the boat I'd rented and had taken off in it. And now Lola and I were out in the middle of nowhere. But really nowhere.
What are we going to do, Johnny?
Well, that's a good question, Lola. Police Inspector Whitsett back in Barbados told me that nobody comes near Lagos Island anymore. Not even fishermen. We may be here quite a while.
But we don't even have any food.
Well, that abandoned house across the island where your husband was hiding could be this food in it that he brought.
Would you do me a favor, Johnny?
What is it?
I'd just as soon you didn't keep calling Tom my husband.
He is, isn't he?
Legally, yes. But when I found out he wasn't traveling alone, that it was a woman who arranged his hiding place in New Orleans, I guess I just quit thinking of him as my husband.
Oh, how do you think of him now?
As a confused animal on the run.
He doesn't seem very confused to me. One thing I don't get, though.
What's that?
Well, that night in Barbados, before you arrived, when Chase slugged me over the head in that waterfront warehouse, why didn't he finish me off then? He had a chance to take me off his trail for keeps. And today, here on the island, those shots of his were plenty wild.
Johnny, I keep telling you, Tom is no killer.
Look, why don't
you... I know he's an embezzler running away from the law, but I can't believe he killed that man Quintana in New Orleans.
Can't believe or won't believe.
won't believe, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to build a fire here on the beach. It's just possible a boat might pass near enough to the island to see it.
It's funny.
Hmm?
The way things work out.
Oh?
The timing is always so bad.
What do you mean?
Oh, you and me here. Under other circumstances, I don't really think I'd mind being here with you at all, Johnny.
I think I'd better start building that fire. We collected a pile of driftwood and brush and touched a match to it. Then we went across the island to the house where Chase had been hiding out. It was a pretty rickety affair, but he left some food. After we'd eaten, we went back and built the fire higher. Then we waited. The hours dragged by, and I was sure Chase was getting farther and farther from me all the time. But there was nothing I could do about it. Finally, I guess I dozed off.
Johnny.
What is it? What?
Look, coming around the point out there.
Huh? A boat.
Come on. Let's get out where they can see
us.
Not
so fast, Lavon.
What's the matter?
That could be the fisherman who brought Chase here. If he's working with Chase, maybe he's coming here to try and finish us off.
Johnny, do you think...
Oh, hey, wait. That's a police boat. Yeah, it's Inspector Whitson.
Oh, thank heaven.
Come on. Hi, Inspector.
Are you all right?
Yes, Inspector, yes.
Yeah, aside from getting shot at a couple of times.
Oh, had a bit of a go, eh?
Pretty one-sided go. Oh, Inspector, you're the most beautiful sight we've seen all day.
Oh, well, thanks, old man. When I couldn't raise you by radio, I decided to come and have a look-see. Where's Chase?
Who knows? He pinned us down in the underbrush with a few shots while he circled around behind us and took off in the boat.
I see. I wonder...
What?
About halfway here, I saw a boat in the distance. It was too far away for me to see who was in it.
Which way was it heading?
Back towards Barbados.
Then let's get this boat cranked up, Inspector. Maybe we've got a chance after all.
I imagine Barbados looks pretty good again to you two.
It certainly does, Inspector.
Yeah, until you came along, it looked like we were going to turn out to be Lagos Island's oldest citizens.
Here we are. Incidentally, Mr. Dollar, do you know a chap named George Everson?
Yeah, sure. He's the senior partner of the firm Chase embezzled the money from in New York.
He's an old friend, Inspector. Why?
Well, he dropped in on me just before I shoved off.
What?
Said he'd wait for you at your hotel.
George, here in Barbados?
Well, I phoned him earlier, and he said he was going to catch the first plane he could and come down here.
But why?
Mainly to take you back to New York.
Now, Johnny, we've been all over that.
Yes, and I still think you ought to... Hey, hold it.
What's the matter?
That boat on the other side of the pier, tied up there.
It's the boat we went to the island in.
Yeah, sure. So Chase did come back to Barbados.
Good. I'll have the airlines and steamships watched, and I'll get word to the fishing and charter boats. If Chase is there, I think we can keep him bottled up.
Inspector Whitsett took off to cover all the bases, and I took Lola back to her hotel. When I got to mine, George Everson was waiting for me. I took him to my room.
Any luck on Lagos Island, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, yeah. All of it bad.
Oh. You're sure it's really Chase you've been trailing?
All the way. Freddie Quintana in New Orleans stole a letter from him, one that he'd started to Lola. It matched the sample of Chase's writing you gave me in New York. And when he grabbed our boat on Lagos Island, Lola got a look at him and recognized him.
How's Lola holding up under all this?
Oh, I don't know. She says she's all over being hurt, that when she found out there was another woman involved, it killed her feeling for Chase.
I'm not so sure of that, Mr. Dollar.
Neither am I.
Lola was completely devoted to Tom. She was badly hurt by his embezzlement, and I think she's still being hurt.
Well, in any case, I'd feel a lot better if she'd clear out.
Well, as you know, I came down here to take her back, but on the way, I started thinking about it.
Oh?
As long as she is here, perhaps she could be a big help to us.
How so?
Well, I still think Tom Chase would listen to Lola, even if he wouldn't listen to anyone else. Nobody could change that much.
I wouldn't count on that, Mr. Everson.
Yeah, well, still, it's worth a try. Now, if it could only work out so that Lola could talk to Tom, or better yet, if Lola and I both could talk to him.
Well, what would you say to him?
I don't know what Lola would say, but for me, I'd put it to him that his only hope of straightening himself out is to turn himself in and turn over whatever the embezzled money is left.
Oh, look,
why,
this man...
I'd even go so far as to guarantee eventual restitution to our investors of whatever amount he's already spent. I know it'll take time.
Well, that's pretty generous of you, Mr. Everson, but I'm afraid you're a little too late.
Why?
In the first place, Tom Chase obviously is not going to turn himself in. He's had plenty of chances to up to now, and he hasn't exactly jumped at them.
But if
I think it's... Well, I think he's got a good reason for not turning himself in. It's better than an even chance he's the one who knocked off Freddy Quintana in New Orleans.
The man who offered to turn Tom over to you for a price?
That's the one. Oh, no, Mr. Everson. At this point, it looks like there's only one way for me to get Tom Chase, and that's to track him down and drag him in. Expense account, item 27, $1.20, American. Cab fare from my hotel to Colonial Police Headquarters. To check with Inspector Whitsett, who, fortunately for me, was being most cooperative.
Chase hasn't contacted any of the airlines or steamship lines. We're in touch with the charter and fishing boat. He hasn't approached any of them, so far as we know.
In other words, the chances are good that he's still here in Barbados.
That's right.
The question is, where?
Right again. Take a look at this map, and you'll see our problem. 170 square miles, more or less.
Yeah. He could be here in the city or out in the sticks somewhere.
Or over here in the Mirasol Beach area. I somehow doubt that, though.
Why?
Well, it's a pretty fashionable spot. Now, I imagine Chase would try to be as inconspicuous as possible.
Yeah. So he's probably hiding out in the city here.
Well, there are scores of hotels and rooming houses. I don't have enough men to... Oh, excuse me. Whitsett here. Yes? Oh, what's the address? Well, thanks, old boy. Yeah, things are looking up, Mr. Dollar.
Oh?
Yes, a man answering Chase's general description just checked in at a hotel out in the north part of the city. It's the room at the end of the hall, Mr. Dollar.
Okay, let's not be polite, Inspector. Let's use the passkey the clerk gave us and barge right in.
Right.
Okay.
Empty.
How about that closet?
Nothing.
Window's open and there's a fire escape.
Well, he apparently left in a hurry. You see there? Those clothes on the chair?
Yeah, that jacket. It looks like the one he was wearing when he swiped my boat on Lagos Island.
Pity we just missed him.
Inspector, I've been just missing him for the last 10 days, and believe me, I'm getting tired of it.
Probably only by a few minutes, too.
Sure, just a few minutes. But it might as well be a year. I went back to my hotel. I was beat. Being always one jump behind Tom Chase was getting on my nerves. Sure, he was still in Barbados, but where? At the rate I was going, catching him was turning into a full-time career. A career I was getting fed up with. Then as I entered my room, I heard a slight movement behind me, and I realized all of a sudden that I wasn't alone.
Don't turn around, Dollar.
What?
Hold it very still.
Okay. Look, I can save you some time. If it's my gun you're looking for, it's in a shoulder holster left side.
Oh, thanks.
You know, I just had a real wild idea.
I said don't turn around and keep your hands in sight.
Okay. My wild idea is that you're Tom Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Tom Chase.
Mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Why not?
Why did you do it? The embezzlement. Was it because of a woman?
It was a woman.
Was?
It turned sour.
Oh, where is she?
That doesn't matter anymore.
And where's the money?
That doesn't matter either. You won't get it.
I see. Next question. Why did you come here to my room, Chase?
I've tried every trick I know to shake you, Dollar. None of them's worked. You've kept on coming. I can't stand it anymore. I'm sick of running.
Give yourself up, Chase.
It's too late for that. No, there's another way. I've got to take you off my trail once and for all.
Now, wait a minute, look.
I'm sorry, but that's the way it has to be. Dollar, this is the end of the line for you.
Dollar.
It's Lola Chase, Johnny.
Hang up, Dollar.
Johnny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but right now I can think of a lot of places I'd rather be.
I said hang
Johnny,
up.
Johnny, there's someone there with you.
Look, Dollar.
Is it Tom? It is Tom, isn't it? I'm coming over.
No, don't do it.
I'm coming
over. Stay away, Lola. He has a gun and he means business. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Barbados, British West Indies, to the Home Office, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Phantom Chase Matter. Expense account continued. Item 28. Well, along about then, I figured this item would be around $200, burial expenses for me. Tom Chase was desperate, tired of running, and ready to take me off his trail for keeps. But Lola Chase's phone call to me seemed to have a strange effect on him.
That was my wife, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Lola.
Why'd you drag her into this, Dollar?
I didn't, Chase. She insisted on coming here to Barbados herself.
Why couldn't she stay out of it?
I suppose because she's your wife.
It's all over.
Yeah, I figured that when I found out it was a woman who arranged your hideout in New Orleans.
That's all over, too.
Turned sour, huh?
Real sour. There's nothing left for me.
Wait a minute. Look, Chase. There's only one thing for you to do. Turn yourself in. Turn over what's left of the money,
and
you'll be...
It's too late for that, Dollar. There's only one thing left.
Wait a minute. Killing me is not going to do any good, Chase. Somebody else will take over and keep after you until they get you. And they will get you sooner or later. You can count on it.
I know. They'll keep coming after me. I can't run anymore, Dollar. I won't take it anymore from you or anybody. I just won't take it. Oh.
I never thought I'd be glad to get hit on the head. But just before I blacked out, I remember being very happy that it wasn't the bullet in the back I'd been expecting. I don't know how long I was out, but when I came to, Lola Chase and George Everson were bending over me.
Are you all right, Johnny?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, brother, my head feels like it was on a pogo stick.
What happened, Mr. Dollar?
Chase was waiting for me here in my hotel room with a gun.
Why did he come here?
For a very good reason. To take me off his trail for keeps.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. But when you phoned, Lola, it seemed to tie him up a notch to learn that you were here in Barbados. He started talking wildly.
Mr. Dollar, Lola and I'd still like to try the plan I mentioned to you earlier.
Oh, look, Mr.
Everson. No, hear me out. We could just talk to
Tom. You'd be wasting your breath, Everson. Tom Chase is not about to turn himself in now or ever. I still don't get it, though.
Get what?
Why he didn't kill me just now. And why he didn't kill me before in the waterfront warehouse or on Lagos Island. He had plenty of chances. It's almost as if...
Yes?
Ah, skip it. Everson, suppose you take Lola back to her hotel. I'm going to check with Police Inspector Whitsett.
From what you tell me, Mr. Dollar, I'd say Chase was just about at the breaking point.
Yeah. That's why we've got to track him down fast before he loses his head completely.
Well, we're continuing our check of hotels and rooming houses. I don't think there's anything else we can do for the moment. Excuse me. Whitsett here? Yes, just a moment. For you, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
It's Lola, Johnny. He was just here.
Chase, where?
Here at my hotel cottage. Please come quickly, Johnny.
I'll be there in 10 minutes. I made it in 8. Lola was still trembling.
Oh, it was horrible. He was talking wild, crazy.
You see which way he went?
Yes. I got to the window in time to see him drive off toward the mountain. Johnny, we've got to find him. He's out of his mind.
We piled into the car and took off after Chase up a twisting, steep mountain road. Tell me what happened, Lola. What'd he say?
I've never seen him like that before, Johnny. He's sick. The things he said...
Like what?
That it was all over. There was nothing left for him. That he just wanted to see me once more before...
Before what?
He didn't say, but... Oh, hurry, Johnny.
We can't take these turns any faster.
I begged him to turn himself in. He said he wished he could, for my sake. But that he couldn't.
Look, Lola, maybe he just took this route to cross the island.
The way he was talking, Johnny. I don't think he was trying to get across the island. He...
Wait a minute, hold it. Look, up ahead.
That's the car he was driving.
Parked beside the road.
Next to a cliff, Johnny.
Yeah. All right, Lola. You'd better stay right here in the car.
Yes, I guess I'd rather.
I walked to the edge of the cliff and looked down. His body was crumbled up on the rocks below. I climbed down. He was dead, all smashed up. It wasn't pretty. I climbed back to my car. Lola just looked at me with the big question in her eyes. All I did was nod. All she did was slump over on the seat. I drove her back to her hotel and phoned Inspector Whitsitt. Then I went back to my hotel. Expense account item 29, $3, drinks for me. I thought about a lot of things. About Tom Chase, who'd had everything in his favor back in New York, but who'd embezzled $120,000. Had killed a man in New Orleans for trying to turn him in, but who hadn't killed me for trying the same thing. And who ended up at the bottom of a cliff in Barbados. I thought about Lola, who'd come a long way for nothing except the final heartache. And I thought about me, who'd also come a long way for nothing, period. The next day, I dropped in on Inspector Whitsitt at police headquarters.
Well, Dollar, I've missed you.
I sort of took time out for a while, Inspector.
I don't wonder. Yeah, Mrs. Chase, of course, identified the body. The inquest was this morning. Verdict, suicide. Burial's this afternoon.
Here in Barbados?
At first, Mrs. Chase wanted to take the body back to New York, but Mr. Everson felt that that would just be adding another painful experience to those she'd already been through.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still don't have the money Chase embezzled, Inspector.
No, and offhand, I'd say your chances of finding it were not too good.
Did you find anything at all in Chase's pockets that might give me a lead?
Oh, just the usual. Loose change, his wallet, cigarettes, some matches, a comb.
Book matches?
Yeah. From a waterfront bar.
Well, let me see him, Inspector. It's not much, but it's the only thing I've got to go on. I went down to the waterfront bar named on the match folder and started combing the neighborhood. I checked every hotel and rooming house. 3 hours later, I was about ready to give up. And then I found it. Yep. Chase's last hideout. I searched his room, but the money wasn't there. I went back to the desk and checked the register again, trying to find out if a woman had checked in about the same time Chase had. No soap. But then I pulled out the sample of Chase's writing that Everson had given me in New York, and I compared it to Chase's signature on the register. A few wild ideas started chasing themselves around in my brain, ideas that began to fall into a crazy pattern. Item 301260, long-distance phone call to the Home Office of Universal Adjustment in Hartford. I asked Pat McCracken to run an errand for me. 3 hours later, he called back from New York City with the answer. Yep, I'd come all the way to Barbados, but the case got solved in New York. I phoned Lola and Everson and asked them to come to the cemetery. 15 minutes later, we met at the freshly turned grave.
Mr. Dollar, I must say you're not being considerate of Lola. I'm sure you realize that coming back to Tom's grave here is a most painful experience for her.
I'm sure you had a good reason, Johnny.
Yeah, I did. I wanted both of you to know what a jerk I've been in this investigation.
Oh, don't say that. You've done everything that could be done, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Lola. But you see, for almost 2 weeks now, from New York to New Orleans to Barbados here, I've been chasing a dead man.
What?
I don't understand.
I think you understand real well.
Now, look here. If this is some kind of a joke, it's in very poor taste.
It's no joke. I've got to hand it to you both, though. You engineered the whole deal with just two people.
What are you talking about?
Drop the act, Lola. The faithful, grieving wife. You had me fooled but good.
Look, Dollar.
You told me you took a trip alone about the time Tom was arrested, Lola. Well, that was true. But it wasn't to Martha's Vineyard. You went down to New Orleans and rented a room under the name of Tom James. You were the other woman I was looking for.
That's a lie.
You don't know what you're saying, Dollar.
Don't I? Freddie Quintana in New Orleans showed me a letter Chase was supposed to have written. It matched the sample of Chase's writing you'd given me in New York, Everson.
Well, of course it did. That proves it.
It proves that the sample you gave me in New York wasn't Chase's writing. I just checked by long-distance phone.
You what?
Oh, yes. Freddie Quintana played his part real well. But what he didn't know was he was going to get paid off with a bullet. That was the day you turned up in New Orleans, Lola. To kill him and shut his mouth.
Dollar.
Let him finish, George.
Oh, there's not much more. You hired the second guy to pose as your husband and lead me a merry chase. That explains why he didn't kill me and why I was always able to pick up his trail again. I was supposed to. That's the way you were playing it. And all the time, the real Tom Chase was dead. You probably killed him back in New York when he was supposed to have jumped bail and disappeared.
Are you through, Dollar?
Almost. Except for the money. You are the embezzler, Everson. It was you who juggled the accounts. And after I ran into a dead end down here with a fake Chase's death, you and Lola could live happily ever afterward with the dough.
Go on.
Of course, the fellow you hired to pose as Chase didn't realize he was going to get paid off the same way Quintana was.
What are you talking about?
The way you helped him over that cliff, Everson, to make it look like suicide.
How did you know?
I probably wouldn't have tumbled to it if I hadn't checked his handwriting.
Of course, you can't prove any of this.
Like to exhume the body, ship it back to New York, and prove that it isn't the real Tom Chase?
The body stays where it is, Dollar.
Oh, put that gun down, Everson. They already know most of the story in New York.
You're bluffing.
Then why don't you call the bluff and find out?
I think he's telling the truth, George.
In that case...
Yes. We've got to take care of him.
Not we, Lola. Not anymore.
What do you mean?
I think we'd better just dissolve the partnership.
Don't try anything like that, George. This was our idea together, and you're in it as deep as I am.
And that's why I'm leaving, Lola. I wish it had worked out, but as long as it didn't...
You can't do that! You've got the money.
Exactly.
I won't let you.
Get back, Lola. We both went for Everson at the same moment. The shot spun her around and crumpled her. I grabbed the gun from Everson.
My arm.
I'm afraid it's not serious, Lola. If his aim had been better, he'd have done you a favor.
Johnny.
One thing I still don't get. Your husband wouldn't make any statement after his arrest. That means to me he knew what you were up to. And he loved you so much he was willing to take the rap. Tell me this, Lola. Why did you marry the poor guy in the first place? Expense account total, $1,723. Lola and Everson were turned over to the authorities, and Everson gave up the key to a safe deposit box in New York where the embezzled money had been all the time. It also showed us the deserted spot on Long Island where he and Lola had hidden the body of the real Tom Chase. Remarks, dear Pat, next time you call me for an assignment like this one, I hope you get a busy signal. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a body suddenly rises from the grave to take the spotlight from a Hollywood star. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Robert Reif. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Michael Ann Barrett, Jack Edwards, Ben Wright, Virginia Gregg, Don Diamond, Forrest Lewis, and Richard Crenna. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. This is a story that really feels a lot more about the journey than the destination. It's not hard to imagine Johnstone being given a heads up that the serial era was coming to an end and also being aware of the potential to lose an episode in the closing days of the presidential election and deciding to give Johnny a big, epic, international chase complete with a clever pun in the title whose full meaning wouldn't be explained until the end of the serial and commissioning Robert Reif to do it. Of course, at the heart of the story are two killers who just made their plans way too complicated. To get away with it, they had to pull off three murders, in three different cities, all while leading a professional insurance investigator on this 2,000-mile international chase. Johnny was right that he was a bit of a sap and probably should have gotten suspicious sooner, but they had a cloak of respectability. I also do wonder what Lola's plan was when the fake Tom Chase left them on the island, given that nobody ever came near Lagos Island. Did she just assume, and perhaps it's not an unreasonable assumption, that since Johnny called Whitsitt, that Whitsitt would have got curious about Johnny eventually and came and got them? Well, I think that this serial was enjoyable and a solid penultimate story for the serial run. Listener comments and feedback now. And we have a couple of comments regarding two different stories on two different mediums, but they kind of tie into the same thing, so we'll read them together. We start over on Good Pods, where Alexis writes in a review of the picture postcard matter, "Skiing out of breath at altitude? Why not have a cigarette? It was a different era." And then regarding the Primrose matter over on YouTube, a listener writes, quoting the episode, "But I want some cigarettes out of the machine. I'll get them for you, just give me a quarter. Entertainment and a history lesson." And another listener notes, "I'm old enough to remember those machines, but not those prices." Well, thanks so much. And I definitely think one of the big things that old-time radio shows is the portrayal of smoking. And it captures an era when it was a lot more common and there were a lot more social rituals that centered around smoking. And even if you didn't smoke, you could pick up a lot of what those rituals were. Now, smoking was never universal, but there was an era when most men did it, and close to a majority of women, I think it was, from what I read, peaked in like the mid-40s percent of women did it. And that led to a lot of acceptance of it in society, which I think eroded over time. I am in my 40s, and I just barely remember restaurants having smoking sections. And I think I saw maybe a couple, three cigarette machines before they were banned. Although apparently they weren't federally banned until 2010. They just weren't available in any state I was living in. Of course, it's a very different world, with about 11.5% of the population smoking. And smoking is very restricted in most parts of the country. For example, in my home city, we have dozens of parks, and except for four specific areas, smoking is banned in all of them. And at the same time, media portrayals of smoking are discouraged. So, as Alexis said, it's a very different world. You'll pick that up in Golden Age entertainment. And that can also be the cause of some controversy. Father Knows Best is one of the most wholesome shows you'll find overall, but it does have some episodes where Jim is portrayed as smoking a pipe. So, as we said, a very different world. A cigarette machine wasn't the only thing that stood out to some listeners on YouTube. A listener wrote, "This is just me being weird. He said the Jeep took less than 4 gallons to top off. He charged Johnny $1.26. So that means gas was roughly about 31 cents a gallon. Reinser said back then that would have been fairly expensive. In the mid-50s, gas prices ranged from 15 to 25 cents a gallon." Well, thank you so much for the comments. I did go ahead and look it up. And certainly, things like gas prices are always a bit striking because they're so much lower. But when you account for inflation, gas is not one of those things that's gone up dramatically more. At least not steadily. It's definitely had some moments. And I don't think it was terribly high. According to a chart I found, the average gas price in 1956 was 30 cents a gallon. And that's obviously throughout the whole year. It hadn't been under a quarter since after the war. So 30 cents was the average price. The Primrose Matter wasn't set during a peak tourist season. 31 might have been a little bit high, but the gas station that Johnny was buying from was out pretty far from civilization, and those places often have much higher gas prices. Now, the 30 cent average in 1956 would actually compute to $3.22 in 2022. So, depending on what area of the U.S. you live in, it's not terribly more than we'd be paying today. The next comment I'm going to read is actually 4 years old. The reason I'm reading it, it comes from Patreon, but Patreon went through a time when it wasn't notifying me when Patreon supporters sent me messages, which is an issue that thankfully got rectified, but many of the messages were so old and out of date by the time I actually got to them that it would have been weird to respond back. And I read a comment I got from Peter starting a dangerous assignment, and when I was looking at the window, I saw this comment on the Phantom Chase matter and was confused. But he sent this back in the summer of 2000, and I took my first summer break, and we replayed the original airing of the Phantom Chase matter during the vacation week. And I'd never registered it before, so Peter, I'm sorry I didn't get to it before then, and I'm now going to address it. Adam, a wonderful podcast. I really enjoyed the Phantom Chase presentation last month. I do wonder whatever happened to Connie. Did she ever get back home? Did she grow old in Barbados? I was thinking how other stories like The Wizard of Oz and Peter Pan created backstories like Wicked and Wendy. You are a writer. Create Connie. Thanks for the suggestion, Peter. And I'll agree that Robert Reif actually made Connie a pretty interesting character and just kind of dropped her as happened. And certainly it'd be interesting to find out what happened to her. Fortunately, I think when it comes to my fiction, I've been dealing with writer's block, mainly from just having so much going on and trying to find the energy to get back to writing, but I will keep that in mind. Thank you for the comment, Peter. And then we also have some comments from our listener survey. Jonathan writes, love this podcast. Favorite is Johnny Dollar and Dragnet. Don't play all the Johnny Dollars at once. Have to get into that insane debate. Lol, just wish you could get the shadow. Have a good day. Well, thank you so much. And that's Jonathan in Brantford, Connecticut. At this point, I think the debate is pretty well dead, and because we only have one more serial to go. Now, I will say that we are going to go through the serials as omnibuses like we've done in the past. Just not going to be every week. It'll be one-off specials or specials during listener support campaigns. Because I think the serials can be experienced as serials, but they also can be cinematic in listening to a complete story in one sitting. So we will do that every now and then on occasion. And as for The Shadow, if Street and Smith gave their blessing and would give permission, I'd have no problem doing it, particularly when we get into the adventure series. But the ball would be in their court, and I don't know if they would be terribly concerned or interested in that. And then some other comments. I look forward to it every morning. It helps me sleep and go back to sleep. It is like reading a book. And then Kevin says Adam's dedication to old-time radio is outstanding, and he presents an impressive variety of content on his various podcasts, all with commentary that engages with listeners and illuminates the underlying programs and their historical context. And Andy says, good one from Sydney, Australia. And another listener says, no suggestions for growing the podcast. Like it as it is. Thank you so much. I don't think we would want to make any big changes to what we do, but the little things we can come up with to get more people listening and on board is kind of what I tend to think of when it comes to growing the podcast. And another says, love it just the way it is. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your kind comments, and now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Lance Dawn, Patreon supporter since January of 2022, currently supporting the podcast at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. Be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download it from. We will be back on Tuesday with our final Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serial. But join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet, where...
Here's one for you. Look at this.
What's that you got?
Mugshot of a girl picked up in a narcotics raid last night.
A pretty girl.
Long blonde hair, beautiful eye.
She looks young. High school girl?
She was when that picture was taken, 1947. She was 16. Here, look at this one.
Yeah, same girl.
Yeah, that's the way she looked at 11:30 last night when we picked her up.
She looks 50.
19 years old. 3 years on heroin.
She might as well be dead.
She is. 8 o'clock this morning.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.